Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. In this podcast, we tackle the tough, often unspoken realities of motherhood, neurodiversity, and mental health. Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. Today we have the great Jade Caldwell from Beyond the Bump. How are you, Jade?
I am absolutely fabulous. It's a pleasure to be on here. It has only taken us through cancellation, and funnily enough, we were both on time and we haven't taken our medication. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought we've both gone freestyling full ADHD and have delayed medication? Because I have to do admin later and I'm like, I can talk to Jade fine, but yeah. I can't do any admin.
Do you know what else it is that when you really want to do something, you're happy to do it. So you're just like, I don't need a boost or I need help to get to here. I want to talk to you. So here we are.
Yeah, I do that too. Or if my hubby's coming home and I need to be patient and present, I have to take medication. Otherwise, I'm like, you got to speed up this story because I need to do other stuff. Anyway, now, the reason we have Jade on here is because I went on her podcast. She very graciously had me. And we talked about how Jade got diagnosed and medicated. A lot of people have followed Jade's story. But Jade spoke really about a different aspect of ADHD medication, which I loved. Because research has come out, and I'll put it in the show notes, that ADHD medication is a great tool and it's arguably the most effective tool to work with ADHD. But from that place, you actually need to make changes. And I thought Jade spoke really well about that, which is why I've asked her to come in for the episode, ADHD meds won't fix everything, now what? So do you want to just do a bit of a summary of where you're at and then we can dive into what you did aside from the meds?
So basically for anyone that hasn't followed my journey on social media or on Beyond the Bump podcast, we had Jane on over a year ago and she was sharing all the information and insights of what ADHD would look like in women, the differences in boys and girls being raised, the differences in what it looks like in boys and girls at school. And as she was sharing her story and her journey, there was absolute light bulb and red flag moments going off in my head. I got goosebumps when I say this because I just felt like it could have been me speaking in so many of these moments. And it led me to saying to Jane after the episode, I was like, I really feel like I could possibly have ADHD. And she said to me, look, without professionally diagnosing you, I've followed you for a fair while and I could pretty much tell you right now you do. But she said, let me just flick you over a test. Took me how long? Weeks, really, to get that shit together. And I did it. And as we expected, it came back that I did. So I took that to my psychiatrist and to my psychologist. At this time, my psychiatrist that I rarely see, he's very much medication-based. And my psychologist that I see a lot for mental health, and that's more like regular 3 to 4 week based, had a little bit of a, I guess, divide in what I had going on. He thought I had bipolar. She thought it was ADHD. So when I brought this to her and I said, I feel that I potentially could have ADHD, she said, absolutely no surprise there. I said, so let's try and find a medication that we could trial because from what I know, there are some medications that if you take it in some people, it's very clear that if it works for you, you're not getting anxiety, you're not feeling overwhelmed, it's making you feel focused that you probably do have ADHD. And I took this tablet and honestly, I burst into tears at the end of the day because it was the first time in my life that instead of having all these, you know, 10 doors open in my mind that I'd half job do this or half think about doing that and then go to the next task and then get so fucking burnt out by the end of the day because I feel like I've done half jobs everywhere and not one full complete thing. This time I had one focus, one focal point, and I was able to concentrate. And what that moment did was make me understand for the first time that if everyone in quotations who are normal have this thought process, how the fuck have I been struggling for my whole life with such a messy head? And what this led and has unfolded in my life has been absolutely incredible. I can't even tell you from that day to who I am now. I am a completely different person, and we will go into talking about how and why, but it all stems from not just medication. When you hear, oh, you might have medication or you have it, okay, you can be medicated. You know what? You can have ADHD and not need medication. You can have ADHD and need it for some times of the day when you really need to focus. My husband has ADHD. He can't take my medication. It makes him so anxious, and he can't believe that I take it and I'm absolutely fine. Everyone is different, and the journey that you go on is your own. So I think always remember, you can hear everyone's situation, story, but you are your own person and you need to do the work to get there.
Oh, I love this. And you can see how people with ADHD want to go around and say to everybody that they know, I think you have it. I think you have it, because it's that helping excitement. There's an answer vibe. And yeah, you know, that's one of the reasons I started the first neurodiversity podcast in Australia, because for all the other mums out there, I was like, oh my God, everyone needs to know how much better life can be if you could get diagnosed.
And you know what I love about being diagnosed? I always grew up feeling that I was very different. Like, I was very much get kicked out of class, but it was different because I was charismatic and I was a girl. People would go, oh, Jay, go for a walk and get this for me and then come back. Or I would work in my favor and make everyone laugh. So it ended up being, I was quite clever in terms of, I don't want to listen to him talk about this boring thing. Let's watch a movie instead. And it would happen. So there was different ways that I could actually use my ADHD and use my lack of concentration to my advantage. And I didn't know that I was actually doing this. Was a skill that I didn't know. And now that I look back to all the things that I deemed were, in quotations, normal, I now feel 100% fulfilled of who I am. And I feel special and I feel proud. Like the times where I would cut off every single person when I'm having a conversation, it's not because I'm rude and I want to say my piece. It's actually because I want to let them know that I support what they're saying, and what I think that they're saying, I agree with. So it's like this humbling, nurturing approach. What a lot of people with ADHD do is they like to talk over people because they're going, oh, I agree with you. I agree. This happened to me. Like, listen to this. It's not like, oh, you're a rude bitch. It's actually the other way around. There was a lot of things that I've learned in like the last year and looking back in my life that have made me realize, I don't know, I think it's given me a lot of confidence now as an adult and understanding myself more. And this has led me to find the best version of myself, because for the first time in my life, I feel like I've found my whole self. And now, because I've got that, I can use that to my advantage, and I can use ADHD medication to my advantage, and I can navigate this world with so much more understanding about my mental health and my well-being.
Oh, I love that. And if I'm honest, one of the reasons I got you on was because I'm really struggling with this. And I was like, geez, you've done this well. How have you done this? So for example, you know how we were talking about ADHD meds? Great. They're an amazing tool to use to your advantage. But you really took that step further in terms of your health and fitness and changing your lifestyle. Now, I am still struggling with that, and a lot of other women are.
Yeah.
How did you go from getting the medication, it works, to then taking the step to actually make those bigger lifestyle changes? Because I struggle.
Because the first time I took this medication, and when I continued to have the medication, something changed in the way that I could think. I could focus on things for a lengthy amount of time, whereas normally without that, I would just either give up or do something else, because it was like short bursts of like a dopamine hit where I'd be like, I'm bored, I need to do something else to make me feel good. And with this medication, it lets me sit, focus, think. I can read books that I like. I mean, I've got to like them. It's spicy, smart genre. It can't be anything else. But it makes me be able to do tasks for longer amounts of time. So alongside the medication that I'm taking, I thought, in this space, I want to be the best version. Like, this has made me feel great in aspects of work now, where I can remember emails, I can reply to things. And don't get me wrong, I'm still, they call me at work 10 J's because I am a lot of different people in one. And at the time when I was little, I actually thought I had personality disorder because I'm like, why are so many noises in my head? And it's because I'm just going in all different directions. But with the medication, it just calms me and I go, okay, like they're there, but they're not jumping so loud that I actually have to listen to them. I'm like, okay, here's my focus point. So when I have the medication, it makes me feel, all right, well, I'm doing this. I've got room in my brain now to understand what other parts can I make better about myself in my life to give me my best self. And exercise, I know, obviously is linked to being very good for your mental health. I wanted to ramp that up. I didn't feel good physically or internally, and I wanted to make a change. So at the start of the year, I said to my husband, I've had enough of drinking. I've had enough of this sort of routine that we're doing, and I want to make a change. And I believe for the first time in my life, I can do it because I have some assistance here. So let's try. And he was on board as well. He said, all right, let's do it together. Because I believe if you're in a household, you've got a partner, it is much easier to do something with support rather than have someone say, I'm going to do this. And then you're watching someone have shitloads of chocolate and drinking, and it makes it really hard to say no. So we both made that decision, and we did 3 full months of focusing on getting up early. And I chose I've just Googled it. It was a 10-minute morning routine exercise, right? Now, it was not physically challenging, and it's not. I still do it to this day, but it was something that I put in my timetable because I wanted to see if I could be consistent with this. I liked doing it. I needed to like it because we all know if you got ADHD, if you don't like doing something, you're definitely going to find an excuse not to do it. And I said, I'm going to set my alarm for 5 a.m. every morning. Doesn't matter if I get up at 5:10, 5:30, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to have the mat already done and I'm going to press go. It's 10 minutes, Jade, 10 minutes of your day that will set yourself up, see if you can do it. Those 10 minutes have changed the structure of my day completely. I am stretching. It's not like strenuous, but in that thought process, I'm thinking, well done you for listening to yourself and getting out of bed. Just that one small movement you've done today, you're a legend. And from there, I then get very motivated to have a big glass of water, have some medication. I saw a naturopath alongside my brain meds because I just felt with my grandpa dying of liver cancer, I got a little bit anxious about that. And I thought, you know what, let's just try do the best I can with my inner health. And so I take some liver cleansing tablets and some other things to help myself, some gut health. And then after that, the kids wake up. We do the morning routine of yelling, screaming. I don't know where your fucking shoe is. Here, have some breakfast. You want that toast? No, I can't make hard toast, dry toast, medium toast. Just have the toast. Look at your phone. But there's a lot of other things where I've actually taken the pressure off in motherhood, like to the point of instead of overanalyzing the guilt that I have when I don't listen properly or when I forget the school lunch or when I just don't really want to do something and I know I have to and it's a parenting thing, I now sit there and go, Jade, you're allowed to not want to do something. And you're actually sometimes allowed to say no, because that's a boundary that is setting yourself up to make you better down the track. Your kids don't know what's going on in your head. And if you say no to something, you're actually also teaching them a boundary that they could probably follow when they're older and when they're growing up. So I've come such a long way mentally. And I truly believe these little stepping stones of waking up, so the medication, waking up and having that morning stretch, I don't know what anyone wants to choose, but for me, that is working a treat. And then, well, I guess after a few weeks of doing that, I started to feel good and I wanted to change my diet. So I started pulling out like the bread because I noticed how bloated and sore I was. And as I introduced that back in 3 months later, I realized that I've probably got a gluten intolerance. I can't actually handle it. It burns my stomach. I do actually think I have a stomach ulcer, which I'm getting a scan on Friday. So that could be part of it. But I didn't listen to anything that was happening in my body because I was too focused in my own head. And now I'm treating myself. I'm caring for myself. I'm putting up some boundaries. And it's the connection of the medication to then have the drive to exercise. I do Sam Wood because it's consistent. It's this inside at home. If I can't get out because I've got meetings all day or I'm stuck in the house because it's raining and the kids are with me, then I'll just pump a Sam Wood program out. I will go for a run. I love running. Sometimes I'll do half and I'm like, well, that's good enough. You've done what you want for the day. I'm easier and kinder to myself. And I really think that it's not just medication that changes the way your life benefits. It's the combination of natural changes, physical changes, like all of that is a combination and it takes time. And I would not introduce all of this. Like if you listen to this episode and go, cool, that sounds great. I'm going to go on my meds. I'm going to start this tomorrow and I'm going to do that. No, just start your medication, see how you feel. Introduced maybe the morning routine for 4 weeks and just do that. Don't stress yourself out. After that, you might say, oh, check in with yourself. How are you feeling? I might add a Pilates class or a walk if I've got time. I might do an in-house program, but exercise, like with my therapist, she says to me, you are better off exerting your energy by exercising. And if you do that in the morning, you are peaking your dopamine hit there and you can come back in, you can take your medication. It's like a free added boost of dopamine with exercise. So it's a win-win on both ends.
Here's a question for you. Okay, so I did an episode on unhealthy habits and how to change them and it went gangbusters, right? I've got like two questions, but they go together. The first question is, what were you like before you decided to change your life? Like when you said to your husband, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. I'm going to make changes, right? What were you like before that? Because I'm thinking that the listeners are going to think that you're somebody who does this easily. And from there, once you got into that habit, like how have you maintained that habit? Because that seems to be the trigger. And I was wondering, two questions in one.
I wish I could tell you and share with you the struggles that I have had my whole life mentally. And it has been from when I was 5 years old, I would wake up in the middle of the night with a panic attack and say to my dad, I'm dying, please, I don't know how to stop it. The anxiety that I would have consistently would then stem into my teenage years where I had 2 months of school because I had social anxiety where I would try to walk into the gate, have a panic attack and walk back out. So I would just stay home. And in that day and age, people didn't really believe that mental health was that big of a thing or it was actually a thing. And I was getting brain scans to see if I had cancer, what's going on, all came back clear. I also think that perhaps people think or would like to think if you're the parent, that surely my child doesn't have a mental issue because that's deemed as disappointing or embarrassing. And I'm not saying that's what my parents thought. They've always been supportive of me. But I think in this day and age today, we are so proactive with mental health and we're so proud to accept people with challenges that people are more inclined to help themselves because we have this space and we have tools that make it okay to do so. But back then, I struggled in every single spot. I never could do an exam. In practicals, I would be very good at it. I would fail in exams because halfway through, I couldn't concentrate. And I would also sit there and go, this shit, like how come someone with a good memory can just do really well. And here's me just doing circles on my maths exam because I'm like, it's too much. I'm looking at people's outfits. It's just wiped me completely. And I guess then from there, it really stemmed into me becoming a mother. I had 3 kids and I had no boundaries. I've never really had boundaries. I've always been a people pleaser. And look, it could possibly be coinciding with the fact that I'm growing and maturing as a woman as well. Like, it could be a lot of things. It could be life skills that I'm learning, but I've never been able to maintain consistency ever. And I had MySpace back in the day, and my one slogan there was, I can never finish anything. And then dot, dot, dot. I didn't even finish the sentence, just to prove that's how I felt about myself. And I guess when you think about all those problems, you don't really value yourself a lot, do you? Because you sit there and think, and it makes me sad about my younger self. Like, I thought that I'm not good enough in society. I have a very weak mind. I was too scared to watch horror movies because it would freak me out. I didn't understand anxiety. I didn't know why I would panic on my own. I felt very childish as an adult because I couldn't just sleep on my own. I would always have to go to someone's house or be with someone to be able to feel okay, because I was that frightened of my mind that I wasn't able to do it. And I have definitely had anxiety medication and depressant medication from the age of 18. I had a really narcissistic relationship. It was my first love. And unfortunately, yeah, you probably don't want to get in a relationship with someone like that, because it gets really confusing, especially being a people pleaser. But long story short, I ended up going on medication for my anxiety, and I've changed over the years. Also, I've become a mother over the years. My hormones have shifted. And it was at child three where I had a really terrible time with postnatal depression. And there's a whole episode on Beyond the Bump of my journey of postnatal depression. But I walked myself into the hospital and I said, I'm not sure what's wrong with me, but I need some help. And I remember a psychiatrist coming out of the woodwork and diagnosing me on the spot of what I had. That then led to me still having these 6 month or 3 month burnout drops of overwhelm, complete physical and mental burnout. And the way I really structured myself before medication was, honestly, Jane, it gives me goosebumps because I sit here and think of how far I've come. And if it wasn't for you to have that conversation, honestly, I really don't even know how I'd be. But there is so much proof into this ADHD realization and medication path that has led to how successful I have become in terms of my mental health and physical health. But anyway, we'll go back. I would also do a lot in the house. I am one of those people that I will see a mess, and it's not just a mess. I will clean out, I'll pull everything out of the cupboard, and we'll start again. And then halfway through, I'm like, fuck, I am so regretting I did that because I had no time to do it. But then I ended up, I would have this, like, it's not obsessive compulsive. It's just this drive and I guess fixation to continuously do jobs constantly. And I don't know if I did this because it made me feel proud of myself or if I did it to stop the head noise, but I would always be cleaning. I would always be like a go-getter. Like, my mother-in-law would walk in and go, Jade, I have seen how much you've done today. That is more than 10 people in one day. You need to stop and you need to sit. You'd never see me sitting on a couch. You'd never see me resting. You'd never see me reading a book. No way in hell. I would never have time to do that. So I would get to a point where I would burn out. And this is what we were trying to work out. Is it depression? Why would I burn out? Like, why does this keep happening? And now that I understand parts of ADHD, and I guess, Jane, you could explain this better than I, but in some sense, you can be highly fixated in parts of your life and you don't actually have a mechanism where it stops you or slows you down. And I am learning this within therapy and having the medication. It has actually made me very clearly aware. It makes me very aware now when I do need to make these times to slow down or read a book. But before I was able to understand that, this was my journey, my cycle. It would just completely go. And then my work would fall because I'd have to put all that pressure on my co-host. my family would suffer because I just would zap out. I wouldn't exercise. I couldn't even walk down the driveway. It was that bad that I was like, I am fucked and I'm terrified and I couldn't put one foot in front of the other. So the only positive change in my mental health journey has been being diagnosed with ADHD and actually being able to be given the opportunity to understand myself and work alongside medication in a natural sense to be the best version of who I am today. And I'm still going, but I can't tell you the mental clarity because of the choices I make. Like, I don't choose to drink at 4 p.m. because I believe in myself that I'm strong enough because of the morning exercise. I know I can do things that are consistent now. So then I would tap into going, well, you can not drink. But it's just been such a journey. And there is really no fucking limit to someone. There is no limit. I am telling you what is in me. I used to believe there was something I thought of the other day where I used to have this sadness about me going, oh God, I'm so fearful of death because it's so scary. I have this inner feeling now. And I said this to my psychologist yesterday, I'm nearly 40 and I'm sad that I almost feel like I've wasted my life not being feeling this good because I wished I felt like this when I was younger to use the potential that I have now to do everything that I want to do. I feel like I don't have enough years left. Like I sit there and think, I feel so fucking good. And don't get me wrong, I didn't feel this good when I was only having the medication. You have got to go on the path to do all of the things. You've got to find it. You've got to want, you've got to nurture it. It changed also my friendship circle. I would never have time or patience to, I guess, listen to people that had, I guess introverts, if you will. I have a book club now with the most incredible human beings. And I truly believe because of the patience and how I am, I can read a book, I can hold conversations longer. Because of that, I have made new friends, in which I don't think I would have normally.
Wow. I really relate to what you're saying. And it's such a common story, which is sad, really. I do want to really say to the listeners that when we are talking about a late diagnosed woman who has had a journey like that, I've also diagnosed myself with many things in the library, as have a lot of listeners. When you have that type of journey, you've got trauma, you've got panic, you've got social anxiety. Those are not just ADHD.
No.
Because by the time we get to this point, we have had trauma, we've had shit, we've had such a long journey. And so then it becomes a bit confusing as to what's what.
Correct.
Which is why for a lot of us, myself included, we do need antidepressants alongside an ADHD medication because ADHD meds don't fix you, air quoting. If they did, it'd be great. But then there's a lot of other steps that you've talked about that you also need to do.
Well, I had SSRI. I was on for most of my life and we changed over to an SNRI. And this one is quite intense. It's very strong. So to the point that if I miss a medication within 24 hours, my brain will zap and I will feel extremely terrible. It's like a withdrawal, I guess, which is ironic because for someone that has ADHD, like I forget fucking everything all the time. And I have alarms all over my phone, taking medication, and they have on the back of the packet Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But then there's days where I'm like, oh, I'm just going to take Thursday, even though it's Monday, because I'm running late. And then what do you know? I'm at Friday. I don't know if I remember getting the tablet out of the bag. I don't know if I forgot it. Was that yesterday that I took it? I'm not sure. So I'm still trying to get that part right. But in the sense of the anxiety side of things, absolutely. There's a few things that I have that go alongside with my ADHD. It's not a one size fits all thing with me, but I tried in this state to wean myself off the anxiety medication, thinking, well, maybe if it's ADHD, it's ADHD and I can get off this shit. But it turns out I tapered down. I dealt with those side effects. I did it very slowly. I spoke to the psychiatrist about it. I did my exercising to make sure I could do the best I could. But after a month, there were just red flags, left, right, and center. I asked my husband, do you see a difference? He said, I wanted to wait until you came to me, but absolutely. So I made the decision and I was emotional about it. I did feel at the time very upset because I felt like I was really doing so well with starting ADHD medication, doing all these great positive changes. But you know what? It made me realize that by going down and realizing how much my brain at this time does actually need that medication, that's okay. And look at everything else I'm doing to help myself out. So I'm at peace with that medication. I felt very much back to my normal self when I was back to that amount that I'm at. And I take my ADHD medication when I need to. And yes, I take it 2 times a day. My husband just cannot believe. He said, I tried half a tablet of that and I am anxious wreck. I can't focus. I'm all over the shop and I'm taking 2 of these a day. And I said this, my anxiety actually gets reduced because I don't have all the chatter. I then feel very calm. So that's also adding to everything else that I'm doing. It's just been a very positive outcome for me and this journey.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one thing that I wanted to mention was sometimes I believe that ADHD is a bit of a shield. So it can be a shield for life because you're so excited. It's chaos. You create all these problems. You're so busy. You're just talking incessantly, socially, and you're just all over the shop. Everything is, for me, an emergency. Because I create chaos wherever I go, right? And you're up, you're down, you're all over the shop. And again, I have been diagnosed with bipolar 2, which I don't have, but I could absolutely see how I would meet the diagnosis criteria for that. So I believe ADHD can be a bit of a shield. So let's say you've got all that going on and then you medicate it properly and fully. What is underneath the personality that you have, or thought you had? Because suddenly you can feel different things that you didn't know were there. And that can show that you have other neurodiversity at play. And that can be trauma, that could be OCD, social anxiety, autism, could be anything. But I believe that there's a point with late diagnosis women where we make a choice. We go, okay, do I need to know what's underneath there? Maybe I don't. But I may know that I need an antidepressant to work alongside it. And I may need to make changes and I may need to start to really explore now my personality I've always had that has been covered up by chaos. So some of us go ahead and do a neuroaffirming clinical psychology assessment. That was my life. Why? What happened? To understand ourselves, or we can make a choice to go, hey, I actually don't even know what's there and I don't want to know, but I'm going to make changes, deal with it as it comes. And I may need other medication and that's okay. So there's that kind of dual play. Does that land for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen a psychologist on and off, like, I guess my whole life. But I think my psychiatrist even said to me, I think for you, what really benefits you is talking to someone. So I am all for the combination of all these things to make you feel wonderful.
Oh, I love this. Look, thank you so much for your time, Jade. I think it's been great to really show people that the meds aren't the answer. I wish we'd be all fixed, but we do need to use them as a tool. Thank you so much for your time, Jade.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Quick announcement. Did you know that we have an ADHD month shop filled with resources designed just for you? These resources are packed with answers to the most frequently asked questions I get sent in via email. Everything from understanding ADHD and autism to practical tips for daily life. There's also a free assessment tool. If you're wondering about ADHD or autism for yourself or your little one, don't forget to check out the free assessment tool under free resources section on my website, adhdmums.com.au.